From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in the early morning hours of March 23rd, when Rochester police officers came upon a man named Daniel Prude in the middle of Jefferson Avenue. The temperature was very cold that day, around the freezing mark, as recounted in a news story up now on RochesterCityNewspaper.com and WXXINews.org from Jeremy Mole, our colleague. Mole writes that Daniel Prude had allegedly just gone on a destructive tear, according to police reports, and the officers tried to restrain him. Eventually, Daniel Prude died after they placed what is known as a spit sock over his head and restrained him by holding down his feet and his head and applied pressure to Prude's back with a knee, a police officer using a knee to apply pressure. Prude eventually would fall unconscious and stop breathing. And he died about a week later. The question now is, should he have been treated this way at all? It doesn't appear that way, but there's a lot that we're still trying to understand and know. There's an investigation underway, and the family and activists held a news conference today, followed by a news conference led by Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren and the police chief, Laurent Singletary. We're going to hear all of that, but first let me bring in our colleague Jeremy Mole, who is with us on the line now. Jeremy, I'm doing my best to recount what we do know, but if you could, why don't you take us through some of the details that we are learning about what happened that night?
Sure. Are you talking about the night of the 23rd?
Yes, officers, according to their reports that you are citing in your City News report,
yes.
According to the officers' reports, they were told that this was essentially a mental hygiene call, or was this something else?
So his brother had called the police earlier in the day, Daniel Prude had gone to Strong Memorial Hospital for a mental health assessment. His brother had taken him there because he was having suicidal thoughts. He came home later that day, around 11 o'clock. 4 hours later, he goes missing from their home. And the brother, wanting to get help for Daniel, called the police. From there, it was about a 20-minute span. The police reports say he broke some windows. He wound up naked in the middle of Jefferson Avenue and was told to lie down. They handcuffed him. Then from there is when he tried to get up a few times. After that, at some point, they decided to restrain him, exactly as you described earlier, and he fell unconscious. And never regained consciousness.
I was not familiar until today with the term spit sock. Were you?
No, I can't say I was.
Okay. A spit sock was, it looks like a plastic bag put around his head. I mean, I'm going to make an assumption that this is something that is designed not to asphyxiate necessarily. I mean, I wouldn't think, but that is an assumption. I am admittedly
right.
Ignorant in this. What do you know about that? Any more about that?
My limited familiarity is probably about the same. He, at one point, if you watch the body camera video, Daniel Prude was spitting, so they put a spit sock over his head to, I guess, deter that behavior.
Have you seen the full body of video yet, Jeremy?
I've seen selections of the video, clips of the video.
Okay. Is it publicly available now?
It should be. I'm not sure if we have it. I'm not sure if we posted it yet.
Okay. I just want to make sure if people do. I know it's going to be difficult to watch, but if people do want to see it just to understand it, we'll make sure we can direct our listeners to that once it's there. Now, the lawyer, Elliot Shields, quoted in your story, is a lawyer for Prude's estate. Is that right?
Correct.
And the quote that he gave you is, quote, "You can only use deadly force in response to deadly force. A knee to the back is deadly force." The officer is saying that police behaved inappropriately. And Jeremy, in a moment, we're going to hear the full news conference that I think people ought to have a chance to hear from activists, from I'm trying to get my make sure I've got my bearings on who all was involved in that first news conference. Who primarily
sure.
was involved there, Jeremy?
Sure. There were speakers from Free the People Rochester, Stanley Martin and Ashley Gann. Joe Prude, Daniel Prude's brother, spoke. You can imagine a very emotional some very emotional remarks. And they're very brief statements by the attorney.
Okay. And then we're going to hear from Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren, who also spoke with Laron Singletary, I think. Is that correct?
That, if you say so, we were not able to get in.
Oh, okay. And I know that it has been, I hesitate to use the word chaotic, but I'm hearing it's chaotic down at the public safety building, and that Stanley Martin, one of the leaders in the civil rights activism that you just mentioned, tried to get into the public safety building during that news conference and was arrested. So, I mean, are you aware of sort of these chaotic scenes going on?
I am. I was there when they arrested Stanley. Right now, they shut off the public safety building. They pushed all the media across the street. There's a line of RPD cruisers down between, I'd say, about the bridge over Exchange with the Cornhill sign, down to the Hall of Justice.
Okay. And Jeremy, I'll close with this. I mean, your job is just to report what we know. And our job is to report what we know and to host voices that will help people understand what's going on. This is an extremely sensitive time in this country. We always urge caution and just careful assessing of all of the facts here. Is there anything that's come from City Hall that indicates, because the mayor knew about this, the mayor has known about this incident for a while, the mayor has been saying all summer that Rochester doesn't have the problems with police community relations that others have, or that we're at least far ahead in that regard. And Mike Mazzeo, the leader of the police union, just said this week that we don't have those problems here. They all knew about this case. Is there anything to indicate from City Hall that we've got the facts wrong, or that this was justified, that the police action here, it was justified? Is there anything that we've seen so far?
The only thing I've seen that speaks to that is a police report where the higher-ups said the officers acted according to their training and they acted appropriately.
Okay. Jeremy, thank you. And I know we're going to be looking for your work on Rochester City News and WXXI. Thank you for calling in here.
Well, thank you.
So, listeners, as we listen to this first news conference and then the mayor, I'm just going to say again, we are learning a lot as we go here. There's a lot that I don't know. There's a lot that we don't know. And we're going to try to just understand the facts as we have them, because we know just how sensitive and fraught this moment is. Let's listen first to the news conference that happened outside City Hall. There is a bit of profanity that you're going to hear here. This is raw tape, and these were raw emotions. So apologies in advance, but there is a bit of profanity in this. So please be aware of that. This section of about a 20-minute news conference, let's go ahead and listen.
My name is Stanley Martin. I'm an organizer with Free the People Rock, and I'm here today standing with the family of Daniel Prude, a man who was executed by the Rochester Police Department. I'm here with Daniel Prude's brother, Joe Prude, his family, and the attorneys who will be representing him. On March 23rd, 2020, the Rochester Police Department executed a black man named Daniel Prude. Mr. Prude was naked, defenseless, unarmed, and experiencing a mental health crisis. Daniel's brother, Joe, called 911 for help. No one trained to respond to a mental health crisis arrived to the 400 block of Jefferson Avenue, but Rochester police did. Daniel complied with all orders subsequently following their arrival. While cuffed, naked, unarmed, and laying down in the freezing cold ground, RPD officers mocked Daniel Prude, cracked jokes, and put a bag over his head. RPD officers Mark Vaughn, Troy Talladay, and Francisco Santiago then proceeded to swarm him. While Talladay forced his knee into Daniel's back and Santiago held down his legs, Vaughn pushed Daniel's head into the ground using all the weight of his body, essentially in triangle push-up position. Less than 10 minutes after Mr. Prude was cuffed, He uttered his last conscious breath. We are devastated by the loss of another black life at the hands of the Rochester Police Department. We are disgusted that Mayor Lovely Warren and Chief Laron Singletary have made no effort to hold Daniel Prude's murderers accountable. In fact, Daniel Prude's killers are still on active duty today. We are livid that the Locust Club president, Mike Mazzeo, uses his resources to defend the murderers, yet two days ago he publicly stated that that Rochester does not have the problems other parts of the country has in relation to police violence. Knowing full well the RPD murdered a man in need of help, Mayor Warren rewarded the police with $100 million and also approved a new $16 million police station. It is abhorrent that Rochester has no capacity to respond to mental health crises in any other way than state-sanctioned violence and coercion. There is no place for police who are fundamentally violence workers in responding to mental health emergencies. To Lovely Warren, Loretta Scott, Willie Lightfoot, Mitch Gruber, Malik Evans, Jackie Ortiz, Michael Patterson, Lachey Harris, and Jose Pio, all who are city council members who have voted and supported spending on police violence at the expense of human life, Danielle Prude's blood is on your hands. Free the People Rock stands with Danielle's family in making the following demands, and we expect them to be accomplished immediately. We demand an immediate arrest and firing of all officers involved, including and especially Mark Vaughn, Troy Talladay, and Francisco Santiago. We also demand the firing of officers who stood idly by while watching a man get killed. Their names: Andrew Spexgor, Josiah Harris, Sergeant Michael Magri, Paul Ricotta, and Lieutenant Gregory Bello. We demand that the sergeants and senior officers who worked on covering up this murder through their police reports and bias investigation also be held accountable. Their names: Sergeant Flamer Zelnovic, Investigator Randy Benjamin, and Investigator Michael Houlihan. The mayor and city council must also immediately pass legislation forbidding officers to respond to mental health calls. We must create an alternative to police for emergency responses staffed by mental health professionals trained in the use of clinical treatment as alternatives to the police. We have no excuse. This happened on the watch of the city and on the watch of Mike Mazzeo and the police. We need to stop funding officers who terrorize, brutalize, and dehumanize the most vulnerable of our residents. A naked, defenseless man was lynched, and we need to think about that in this moment within the Black Lives Matter movement context. We immediately asked for a defunding and then a disbanding of the Rochester Police Department. They have committed murder and they must be held accountable. Up next, we'll have Mr. Joe Prude, the brother of Danielle Prude, speak and share the impact on his family.
How y'all doing? Well, I'm here today to just not so much as just like bring it to the attention of the city, but those in that I need to understand that I placed a phone call for my brother to get help, not for my brother to get lynched. Now, when I say got lynched, that was a full-fledged, ongoing murder, cold-blooded, none other than cold-blooded murder. How did you sit here and not even directly say the man is defenseless, butt-naked on the ground? He's cuffed up already. I mean, come on. How many more brothers got to die for society to understand that this needs to stop? And I can't even share with y'all the pain that I'm feeling and my family is going through as well. These things that's going on right now, more or less to say, who can we hold accountable for this? Why was it a cover-up? Why did my brother get harmed when he complied with everything that them people wanted him to do? Why did he get treated like an African-American male from 1960? That's the case, you should have just sucked a damn dog on him. But my true feelings right now, I'm trying, but it's like this. To treat somebody inhumane like that. If I kill a police, what is my sins? Is it my sins because I'm a black man? That's 100 over my head. What's their sins? You killed a defenseless black man, a father's son, a brother's brother, a nephew's uncle. I mean, come on. I'm trying my best to get this out and open. I don't know My nerves are so bad right now, I'm shot. And I don't think I can go any further. I can't.
My name is Ashley Gant, and I'm a...
I'll break up in front of these cameras.
We got you, Joe.
My name is Ashley Gant. I'm an organizer with Free the People Rock, and I'm also an organizer at the NYCLU. What we know is that on March 23rd, Daniel Prude was in a mental health crisis. Rochester Police Department was called, and that response led to his murder. The police have shown us time and time again that they are not trained to deal with mental health crises. The police have shown us over and over again that they are not equipped to handle individuals with mental health concerns. These officers are trained to kill and not to de-escalate. These officers are trained and ridiculed instead of supported Mr. Daniel Prude. Daniel's case is the epitome of what is wrong with the system. And today we stand firmly seeking justice for Daniel and his family and for all the victims who have been murdered and terrorized by the Rochester Police Department. What happened to Daniel Prude is not an isolated event. It is an incident that has been years in the making by the Rochester Police Department. The institution of policing has harmed and murdered black and brown people in this country for decades. Originally created as slave patrols to enforce slave codes and then to enforce Jim Crow laws. Fast forward to now, the Rochester Police Department spends the least amount of time solving crime and more time abusing and brutalizing black and brown people for simply breathing. We are in need of accountability to account for the wrongful death and murder of Daniel Prude. This family will now have to live with the rest of their lives thinking of how Daniel's life was taken too soon. Daniel was treated inhumanely and without dignity, treated as less than in the eyes of officers who forced him down, choked him out until his last breath. We are in need of divesting from the police department and investing in our communities. Even starting with the elimination of bad officers, those piecemeal reforms will not end state sanctioned violence that we are witnesses to every day. We are in no place to reform an institution that has brutalized black and brown people for centuries. And we must put an end to investing in police first. As an organization, the ACLU of New York is in deep commitment to serve those in this community first and to build a society where we invest in mental health services, housing, education, as well as putting an end to criminalize poverty in this city. At this time, we're going to take some questions from the media.
Have you all watched the body camera video?
We have.
And it's horrific.
What shows
a horrific sight.
Go ahead, come on.
And when I say it shows a horrific sight, that... for anybody to witness their child or their brother or their uncle, no matter the consequences of the situation, which wasn't no consequence, that matter was the call for help. How is you sitting here in a push-up stance on my brother's damn neck? How you sitting here with your knee in my brother's damn back when he's defenseless? He's got on no damn clothes. I mean, come on, let's keep it real. If you want to know the truth, the video footage is going to show the truth. And these people that study trying to cover this up, come on, man. Let's stop this, because if you don't stop it now, it's going to be some more, and it's not going to stop. I mean, what makes me lesser than the next man of this American society? It doesn't make me lesser than you, because my skin is darker than yours, my melanin is better than yours. I don't care what it is. We all human. I'm not no animal, and that's what the fuck they treat my brother like, a damn animal. Same night in question when I called them people to where's, I called for help for my brother. Excuse me. I called for help for my brother. And when I say I called for help, I admitted my brother earlier that day because he was having some distress issues whereas I knew he was on a mental breakdown and I didn't have no knowledge of dealing with nothing like that. So my best bet was to call Strong. Admitting him, 3 hours later, they sent him back home. And you asked me, was that governance for them to want to send him back, knowing they didn't even overlook him, knowing that they didn't even observe him? No, it didn't warrant that. And then when I place a call and I tell this particular officer that comes to my door, my brother ain't a threat to nobody but him damn self. Don't kill my damn brother. And not even 15 minutes later, they come back talking about my brother's dead. Now, how am I supposed to feel? Y'all tell me, y'all got kids? Y'all got brothers? Y'all got nephews? How the hell am I supposed to feel? Am I supposed to be angry? You damn right I'm angry. Am I supposed to feel joyful? No. Am I supposed to feel like, why this went unanswered this damn long? Why? Ask them who covered it up. Not even 10 to 15 minutes somewhere in between there, because when the officers at my door, they went over the radio dispatch. Young black male. They asked that young black male his name. We got your brother, Joe. So when you apprehend my brother, knowing the mental distress he was in, why would you kill my brother when he got no weapons, no nothing on him? Nothing to cause nobody no bodily harm. But you sit there and taunt him, teasing him, laughing and making...
...using people and on the loop. They killed someone and they are still patrolling our community. That is our biggest concern, and they need to be arrested and fired, prosecuted immediately. Exactly. That is our only and biggest concern. Justice for Daniel Prude.
Exactly.
Elliot Shields, and with Don Thompson, we represent the family. The status of the case right now is that the estate has been set up for Daniel. We filed a notice of claim with the city, and that's the first step to proceeding with any wrongful death or civil rights lawsuit. And so we're proceeding from there. No case has been filed in court yet.
You guys have seen the footage as lawyers, as people who dealt with the law and stuff like that. What do you guys see in that footage?
We'll address the legal claims later. Today we're here to support the family. We're here to support Joe, and all that I can tell you is that what Joe is going through, what his father is going through, what his sister is going through is incredible pain. I watched the video with them, and it was one of the most difficult experiences of my life, watching the family react to seeing their brother and their son murdered by Rochester police officers, while other officers stood around and paramedics and EMTs, and nobody granted him any basic humanity. And the pain that causes the family is unmanageable. I can't even imagine what Joe's going through, and I talk to Joe all the time. It's just terrible, and that's why we're here today. I'm sure that the legal claims and the court cases will play out over the following months, and we'll address that when that time comes. It took months to set up the estate, and it took months to get all of the body camera videos from the city, for the city to release all of the body camera videos of the incident. And that's why.
And you're sure there's no question that when everybody sees the body camera videos, they're going to see something that will elicit the same response from them?
They're going to see a murder.
Period. That's
what they're going to see.
Cold-blooded murder.
Are you going to also sue the ambulance company?
We are evaluating all of the legal claims that can be brought, and we're going to sue everybody that's responsible for Daniel Prude's death.
So it's ongoing?
It's ongoing. right after the death of Eric Garner and the Staten Island District Attorney's failure to indict Daniel Pantaleo, is Governor Cuomo appointed the New York State Attorney General as the independent prosecutor anytime that an unarmed civilian is killed by police. That was recently passed into law with the reform package that Governor Cuomo signed on June 12th, along with the 50A repeal. So the 50A repeal and the package of reforms making that a permanent law happened after the death in this case, but the Attorney General's office, as far as we know, is currently investigating the matter, and that investigation is ongoing. Thank you.
If there is no more questions, first, thank you guys for coming. We're going to be emailing the video to all of the news media outlets, as well as releasing it on our Facebook page. We've talked to the family, and we know the impact that the community at large seeing this video will have. So thank you guys for coming, and you'll get the video as soon as this press conference is over.
Are you guys planning any rallies or gatherings or anything at MLK Park or anything in the coming days?
It's to be decided. I mean, we've been doing rallies every week since the summer started, so just stay on the ground.
Does this give it a new sense of urgency then?
There was always a sense of urgency. Black men are killed and women are killed by the police every single day.
Every day.
So this doesn't give more urgency. We've been moving with the same urgency all summer long. So hopefully this is some fire under you guys' and the city's feet.
Ashley, have you known about this at the end of March?
No, I didn't.
Why do you think that was?
What? The video was...
Yeah, the city did not release the video, the body cam footage.
Did anybody call you and say this horrible thing?
No. And I'm not looking for people to call me. I'm looking for people to stand alongside the family. I'm the least important in this situation. And what we're looking for is justice. So not calling me, but this should have been known as the night that it happened. And the only reason it was not is because the community wasn't around to film this.
Also, I want to add, when something happens, when the RPD arrests someone for petty crime, they send out a report to the media. So we are absolutely baffled regarding why they did not send anything out to the media. And we feel that it has to do with them being guilty of murdering someone. They have the tools to let the public know. The city has the tools to inform the public. But they chose to hide it. Police reports you will receive will also show a very delicate cover-up to hide information of what really happened that night. EMS is involved, the police are involved, and Mayor Lovely Warren is absolutely involved in this. So the mayor knew this happened. The mayor knew the police murdered someone. The mayor knows the protocol and procedures of all what's going on when someone is going to file suit. They have spoken to the city's attorneys. There is no way something so heinous and serious could happen when communication is occurring with the city's attorneys and the mayor not know.
Why would she do it?
I think you should absolutely ask her that question. As a black woman, as a mother, as a black resident of Rochester, why would she collaborate with the police to hide the murder of a black man? I would love to hear you ask her that question because we all want to know.
Definitely want to know.
Thank you all.
Why just went unanswered that damn long?
Yeah.
Why?
And we ask that the media uses a critical racial lens to write these stories. We ask that you use your black staff to tell these stories. We do not want these stories to be told through the lens of the RPD who murdered the family. We want you to bring in your humanity. We want you to think about what really happened. A black man was murdered by the RPD officers. The video shows that, and we want you to report this with respect to the family. And that is what we ask of you.
That is the news conference from just over an hour ago. And the last voice you heard there, Stanley Martin, one of the leaders of the civil rights movement this summer, all summer long. Ashley Gant, you heard, and members of the family of Daniel Prude, who died in late March after an encounter with Rochester police. And WXXINews.org, citynewspaper.com, Jeremy Mole, among others, Gino Finelli, reporting on what's happening. Now, after our only break of the hour, you're going to hear Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren, and you will hear some of Police Chief LaRon Singletary answering questions about how long they knew about this, why the public did not know about this, what the process has been like, and their characterization for what they see on the video, and how they perceive this incident. much more information online if you want to read the full story. It's been posted on our various platforms, and we urge you to try to do that. I'm Evan Dawson. Let's take that only break, and we'll come back and hear from the mayor next. I'm Evan Dawson, Thursday on The Next Connections. What happened in Manhattan when the coronavirus hit this spring and the city was devastated? People were dying. Stores and restaurants were closing. Well, one restaurant decided to pick up and move to the Finger Lakes. And that's been here all summer. It'll be here into the fall. The story of a restaurant that relocated from Manhattan to upstate on Thursday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We're talking about the death of Daniel Prude, a 41-year-old Rochester man who died in the hands of police on March 23rd. Police were called for essentially what was a mental hygiene call and showed up, tried to restrain Daniel Prude, put what was called a spit sack over his head, and then officers kneeled on his back with a knee, and he died. Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren knew about this case. On June 10th, Mayor Warren was asked about defunding police. This was just 2 weeks after the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And Mayor Warren that day said that she didn't support the defunding of police. And she said on police community relations the following, quote, "By light years, Rochester is ahead of the curve, and we will continue to do what is necessary to make sure that our community feels safe and that our officers feel safe and that we can work in partnership," end quote. Light years, she said. Rochester is ahead of the curve. This week, we heard Mike Mazzeo, head of the police union, essentially say the same thing. He said Rochester doesn't have the problems that other communities have when it comes to policing and police-community relations. They knew about this case then. It does beg the question of why they would make those remarks knowing that the Daniel Prude case would eventually become public. What did she say today? Let's listen now. This is all within the last hour. Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren and Police Chief Laurent Singletary.
Chief Singletary, I don't have a problem with holding people accountable when they don't follow the rules. Unfortunately, on March 23rd, Mr. Daniel Prude lost his life. 7 days later, he was arrested or taken into custody. First, I want to extend my deepest condolences to the Prude family for the loss of their loved one. I know on March 23rd, they did everything possible to make sure that their loved one was taken care of. They took him to the hospital. They tried. They called, and they sought the help that they needed. Unfortunately, something tragic ended up happening. And losing a loved one is never easy for anyone. And on behalf of the citizens of Rochester, I do extend my deepest condolences. I want this community to know that at no point in time did the chief or I not do everything possible to make sure that this case was being handled according to the way that it's outlined by Executive Order 147. On July 8, 2015, Governor Cuomo issued an executive order after Eric Garner passed away. In that executive order, it outlines that when someone passes away and there's an in-custody death, that the proper authority to handle that case is actually the Attorney General. And so once Mr. Prude passed away, the Rochester Police Department turned the case over to the Attorney General's office. And since that time, we have been waiting for the AG's office to make a determination on how this case is to proceed. The reason why that is the case is because we want to make sure that the investigation is fair, it is unbiased, it is something that people can have confidence in, and the entity that is being investigated is not the entity that is actually conducting the investigation. I don't think that that would be fair to the Prude family, for RPD to investigate this particular case when it was their loved one that passed away. Unfortunately, it has taken some time, and I sympathize with the family because I too, when I saw the video, was very disturbed. Many people know I have no problem admitting when we do something wrong and standing before this community and telling them up front that I see something here and I disagree with it, and we're going to do everything that we can to hold someone accountable. In this particular instance, this is not within our control. And it's not within our control fairly because the executive order outlines that this case has to be handled by the Attorney General's office. I have been in contact with the AG's office, and I know that she is in contact with her team about moving this investigation along. I want everyone to understand and be very clear that at no point in time did we feel that this was something that we wanted not to disclose. It is always something that we want to be forthright, upfront about with our citizens. Whether we're talking about what happened with Mr. Pate, or what happened with Trayvon Rowe, or what happened with any other citizen in our city, I have been the first to come forward, to stand before our citizens, and to let them know and understand what the process is going forward. In this particular case, this is handled by another agency, and we are precluded from getting involved in it until that agency has completed their investigation. Unfortunately, it is now September 2nd, and we still do not have a report from the AG's office. I know that they're working on it, and I know that our law department and our police department have been working with them to move this along. And as soon as we are allowed to get involved or to move this forward, we will do our investigation. But the law at this point in time precludes us from doing so. So I want everyone to understand and be very, very clear about where we are right now. I want the Prude family, I know that they're frustrated right now, but rest assured that we are going to do everything possible to make sure that the truth comes out and that justice is held here. The video, I understand, is very disturbing. It's very disturbing. Breaks my heart as well. But we have to follow the process that have been laid out based on Executive Order 147. I'm going to turn it over to the chief because I want people to understand that we care about our city. Every last citizen, every last person. We do everything that we can to protect and to serve, to make sure that not only our officers go home at night, but hopefully all of our citizens go home at night safely as well. And when someone doesn't get it right, we're the first to stand before you and tell you so. In this situation, I cannot tell you the outcome because it's under investigation by the Attorney General's office. But as soon as I know, the first people that I will come to is the people of this city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I also want to echo the mayor's comments with regard to offering condolences to the family. Anytime you have an in-custody death, it is taken serious. Hence why I ordered that morning on March 23rd after the arrest, a criminal investigation, which is conducted by our major crimes unit, as well as an internal investigation that ran concurrent. So that morning of the incident, I ordered a criminal investigation conducted by our major crimes unit, as well as an internal investigation conducted by our professional standards section. That was on March 23rd. On March 30th, Mr. Prude had passed away. On March 23rd, I did contact District Attorney Sandra Dooley and asked her to take a look at the situation as well at the same time. On April 16th, we were notified, as the mayor stated, by Governor's Executive Order 147, that they were the entity that had authority over a death that was in custody of an unarmed individual. At that time, the investigation had commenced. They had jurisdiction over such, and that is where we stand today. As the mayor stated, she did reach out to the Attorney General's office to find out where they are within the investigation, and they are still investigating such. But we did take this investigation seriously from day one. Like I said, when the incident occurred on March 23rd, it happened around 3 a.m. on Jefferson Avenue. And that morning, I ordered an internal investigation and a criminal investigation as well, and have been in constant contact with the AG's office regarding this investigation. So at this time, we'll take a couple questions.
Mayor, why did the department not make known what had happened at the time it happened or when you concluded your own investigation? There's nothing about the Attorney General's function that precludes that. Almost all of the cases they look into are, in fact, known publicly. So why did you not say something?
So, I mean, as far as our protocol, we won't want to do anything to taint any kind of investigation whatsoever, whether it be a criminal investigation or an internal investigation. That is the protocol that we follow within our department. We have been in constant communication. When I asked Sandra Dooley, her office, to take a look at it, and then it was taken out of the district attorney's office based on the governor's executive order 147.
What was the cause of Prude's death? Was it homicide?
I can't get into specifics with regard to that. Obviously, there's still an ongoing investigation. There is the internal and criminal, as well as I understand there's a possible lawsuit regarding this case as well.
Have the officers been suspended?
The officers have not been suspended as of yet, no.
Can you outline the RPD policy on dealing with clearly mentally disturbed individuals? I mean, we brought this before. We've asked for written policies, but we'd like some more clarification on what the policy is regarding there, and if you could point this to one of your general orders that shows us the procedure you guys are supposed to use when dealing with these types of individuals in these cases.
Well, as you know, I mean, there's we have so many different circumstances when you talk about dealing with mental health, an individual who may be suffering from mental health. In this case, you know, the officers were on scene. Our job is to try to get them to get some sort of medical intervention, and that is exactly what happened that night. They went to the hospital, tried to get him medical intervention as a result of the medical status that he was suffering, as well as ultimately the mental health status.
Could you speak about seeing the video for the first time?
I, as everyone else that saw the video, it's a disturbing video. And, you know, I think that for me, I can definitely sympathize and empathize with the family, and I would be very upset about the video. However, you know, I think that we have to be very clear about the investigation into this situation. You know, Mr. Prude, and I think that his family, they did everything possible to make sure that he would be taken care of that day. And unfortunately, when he went to the hospital and 7 days later, he passed away. But the video is very disturbing. I'm not going to deny that.
Did you see it shortly after the episode or recently?
No, I saw the video a while ago. As the chief indicated, this is not something that the city was not aware of. When Mr. Prude was taken to the hospital on March 23rd, the chief immediately contacted me, let me know that they had a mental hygiene situation that happened, took him to the hospital, and we were waiting to see what was going to happen as far as his health was concerned. When he passed away, I was notified. A lot of department, of course, was notified as well that he had passed away, and that the executive order, we had learned from the law department that the executive order was in place, and that the AG's office would be taking this, most likely take this under their wing.
That's Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren, along with Police Chief Laron Singletary, in their news conference today, responding to the family of Daniel Prude, who have called his death a murder, are calling for the firing of the officers who were involved, are calling for consequences for Mayor Warren and Police Chief Singletary for not disclosing this publicly. So part of that news conference you just heard, Mayor Warren was describing her reasons for not telling the public about this. She basically said there's an executive order and she can't. She's not supposed to speak publicly about it. Okay, that may be true. I don't know the answer to that. But let's also review some of the recent history of what the mayor and police have said. George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis in late May. On June 10th, Mayor Warren was asked about defunding police. What she said to WXXI and others is that the city of Rochester is, quote, light years ahead of other cities and doesn't have these kinds of issues, that there is an opportunity for a building of community, for officers to feel safe, for the community to feel safe, and that we are light years ahead. Light years ahead. She knew about the Prude case when she made those remarks. Mike Mazzeo, head of the police union, 2 days ago, said that Rochester doesn't have these kinds of problems. He knew about the Prude case at the time. So just minutes ago, Gino Finelli, reporter with City Newspaper, had a chance to speak to Rochester City Council member Mary Lupien. And Mary Lupien said, you can't make those remarks when you know about a death like this. When you know how sensitive things are, you can't say that. They knew. And Mary Lupien says they have to be held accountable. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the council member means by that. And perhaps we can follow up with Mary Lupien, among others. But you also heard Stanley Martin, one of the activists who was helping lead that news conference today, say that the mayor made those remarks and she knew, and that someone should have been fired. Well, the mayor says she can't weigh in on this. She can't disclose this publicly. It's not clear to me what the consequences would have been if Mayor Warren would have called the news conference months ago and said, hey, I'm not really supposed to talk about this, but this is too important not to. So let's talk about this. I don't know. Now, the police chief, Laron Singletary, said he couldn't disclose it publicly because he doesn't want to taint any investigation by the AG's office. The police chief says he was not trying to cover anything up, wasn't trying to suppress anything, that he knew eventually this would come out, but he doesn't want to taint that. And I understand that. I do. But this is a community that's had a long-standing debate about how to investigate police incidents. The mayor herself said today that it wouldn't be fair if the Rochester Police Department is the only one investigating this. Wouldn't be fair to the Prude family. Which is exactly what the advocates of a police accountability board have been saying for so long. That you can respect police, but they can't police themselves. That eventually there has to be somebody else outside of the police department making a determination on whether officers acted fairly, especially when someone has died. And the mayor essentially agreed with that today, but she disagreed with the police accountability board and their advocates when it comes to disciplinary power for the police department. So there's a lot here. We're going to be reporting on this on WXXI News and City Newspaper throughout the day. And I don't know where this goes next. We'll certainly, on Connections, try to bring in voices that will help lead the conversation forward. I live in this city, and everyone feels the tension of the moment. I certainly hope that we can honor the memories of people like Daniel Prude by being productive, constructive, and uniting in love. Now, sometimes that means tough love, and that will be up to a lot of people to determine what that looks like. But I do hope, as a member of this city, that we can continue to have constructive response to this. Thanks for listening today. And once again, I'll just say that there was profanity in the earlier news conference. We chose to air that. We think you got to hear that in its fullness. So our apologies if that was a problem for anyone in the audience, but that was part of the conference there. All right, WXXINews.org, RochesterCityNewspaper.com for more coverage. I'm Evan Dawson for Rob Braden, Megan Mack. We will talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.